let's stand and sing Just Over in Glory Land.
Biblical. It's good that you sing biblical songs. You don't want to sing things that aren't found in the Bible. All right, let's take our Bibles and turn to Joshua chapter 11. Joshua chapter 11. Let's just go right on into this theme of fighting the battles for the Lord. Joshua's got his marching orders from the Lord to go into the promised land and conquer the land and to totally wipe out the enemy. And then to possess the land for themselves. And we see more of this conquering of the land here in chapter 11. And we got some reading to do here. And hopefully we can get some good things out of this for our own benefit, spiritually speaking, in this day and age. Certainly we're not Israelites going into a literal land to defeat it. But I tell you what. We are saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are to conquer this new territory of possessing the new life in Christ and enjoying the walk with the Lord. And it requires some battles to be fought. You got a battle, you got some enemies. Let me just ask you if you can tell me who those enemies are. There's three of them. There's three enemies that you have, and you're going to have to battle against them to get the victory. What's one? What? The flesh. Your own self. Your own self. What else? The devil. The devil. John, what'd you say? Yep. Satan, the devil. One more.
Okay, all of that under the heading of the world. Yep. The world, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life, the world, everything the world stands for, you're going to find yourself fighting against that in your new life in Christ. And we have marching orders from the Lord to go ahead and fight this battle. The Apostle Paul at the end of his life had to say and could say, I have fought the fight, a good fight of faith. And he encouraged the younger Timothy to pick up where he left off and continue on fighting the good fight. And young men are encouraged to fight the good fight. All the ladies in the church are also told to fight the good fight. All of us are told to fight the good fight of faith for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we should get some little encouragement out of the children of Israel doing the same thing in a different setting, different way. Back here in the Old Testament time. Joshua chapter 11. And it came to pass when Jabin, king of Hazor, had heard those things. And what did he hear? He heard how Joshua had already defeated five kings. Five kings that got together against the children of Israel. And they were no match for the children of Israel. The Lord gave the children of Israel the victory. And by the way, all these enemies, the flesh, the devil, and the world, are no match for the Lord and for the Holy Spirit of God. And if we have our eyes upon the Lord and trust wholly in Him, we can win the victory against these foes. And what will be the victory that overcomes these things? Even our faith. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. Even our faith will help us overcome these things. Child of God, you've got the resources. Joshua had the resources also. And so here we see one of the kings heard those things, verse 1, that he sent to Jobab, king of Madon, and to the king of Shimron, and to the king of Akshath, and to the kings that were on the north of the mountains, and of the plains south of Shinaroth, in the valley, and in the borders of Dor on the west. Now Dor is on the coast of the Mediterranean Sea. Shinaroth would be the sea above Sea of Galilee, the little one above there. And so all the enemies in the northern area of Israel are gathering together. Verse 3. And to the Canaanite on the east and on the west, and to the Amorite and to the Hittite and the Perizzites and the Jebusite in the mountains, and to the Hivite under Hermon in the land of Mizpe. And they went out, they and all their hosts with them, much people, even as the sand that is upon the seashore in multitude, with horses and chariots very many. And when all these kings were met together, they came and pitched together at the waters of Merom to fight against Israel. You know, when we talk about the Battle of Armageddon, that's not the first and only time that there's going to be armies that gather together against Israel. It's been something going on throughout Israel's history. The armies of the world gather together against the children of God. And that's the same today. The church is in the world as a witness to this world. And do they not gather themselves together against the church? Oh, yes, they do. And they do battle with us. And we do battle with them. And the world, the flesh, and the devil get themselves worked up together against the church. We have been living, we as people in the United States of America, have been living in a very blessed time of history. This nation, not even 300 years old, has enjoyed religious toleration for the most part of its history. And the church has experienced quite a season of no offense and opportunity. It hasn't been that way for Christians throughout the rest of the world, but for us, we've been having a good time, a great opportunity. I do believe that the time that lies ahead does not bode well for the church or for freedom of religion and to freely express ourselves like we've always had the right to do. But you know what? The Christian doesn't need a right to do those things. He just needs to obey the Lord. And in other lands and other countries where Christianity is not tolerated, the believers still obey the Lord rather than men. Even in the early church, you read how that they said that of themselves, that they had to obey God rather than men. And many times they were incarcerated, put into jail, into prison, and they were not allowed to express themselves as they could if they were Americans in the United States of America. But you know, I don't know that the Christian church in America has done well or is doing well with the freedom that we have. And therefore, it may be that the Lord says, that's enough time. It's enough. And so the freedom just goes away, it seems, ebbs away. And it's going to take a real desire, a real strong stand for the Lord like Joshua. And we're going to have a lot more preaching about Joshua's and get encouraged to stand for the Lord no matter what. Now here's a mighty army. More kings gathered together. You might think also, you might think of this too. Are the children of Israel getting weary of the battle? I mean, they've been fighting battles ever since they came in over Jordan River. There's no time for rest. There's no recreation. And obviously they're not given the freedom to express what they want to do about their God and serving their God. They just have another battle to fight. And so here it is. Christian, you may end up getting weary sometimes. The battles just don't ever seem to stop. Wow. Hey, take a look at a church ministry here, 33 years. It just seems like battles just keep on coming and coming. And you win one, and then you have a little season of rest, and here comes the enemy again. And you've got another battle. And more troubles come your way. It just doesn't ever seem to end. There's always battles to be fought. One of these days, we'll lay our weapons of our warfare down and we'll be with the Lord in the land of comfort and rest. But until then, Christian, you've got to march on, like we just sang. Marching on in the light of God. And no matter what comes our way, just keep on holding that flag up for the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, here they are gathered together to fight against Israel. Notice, to fight against Israel. That's their purpose. It isn't that just Israel just somehow got in the way or met up with this. No, these enemies have a goal. We're fighting against Israel. They might as well fight against God. We're fighting against the church. You ever wonder sometimes, I wonder why do they have this leaning, this liberal leaning, and why do they make some of these rules and these laws? They're fighting against the church. Yeah. The church, you know, the world would be happy if we would be gone. I think the world would be happy if we were gone. They could basically do whatever they want to do. We seem to be that source of keeping them. We're an obstacle keeping them from doing what they want to do. It's sad. So they fight against the church. They might not say it. It might not come out real clear and plain like that. But you mark it down. When we get to heaven and look back on it, we'll see. We stand here in the world as ambassadors for Christ. And we don't go along with the way of the world. And the world just cannot stand to have anyone saying what you're doing is not right. And they can't wait till we're gone. One of these days, we're going to be gone. In a moment, twinkling of an eye, out of the world we will be gone. And the 7 years of tribulation will come upon this earth, and the Antichrist will rise. Hardly any obstacles at all to keep him from doing that, except the judgments of God, which will be poured out on him throughout the tribulation time, most likely just to keep them from doing everything that they want. And then the devil being cast out of heaven halfway through that tribulation time, knowing that his time is short, he'll do all he can to destroy what remains as the witness of God, and that is Israel. And they'll be fighting against Israel again, just like they fought against the church. They'll fight against Israel. Verse 6, and the Lord said unto Joshua, Be not afraid because of them. Does not the Lord say that to us too? Fear not. We're to have a sound mind and not fear. Perfect love casteth out all fear. You know, if our eyes are on the Lord, we won't be afraid. And so Joshua, be not afraid because of them. For tomorrow about this time will I deliver them up all slain before Israel. Thou shalt hoe their horses and burn their chariots with fire. Now, to hoe their horses is an act by which they cut the back of the leg of the horse, immobilizing him so that he cannot do the work that he was doing prior. He can't pull chariots. He becomes useless as a work animal. And God, you might say, oh, why did they do that? Why didn't they just take those horses and then they could use them? God didn't want Israel to put their trust in horses. In fact, later on, as the nation of Israel would then get into the land and possess the land, and they would ask for a king, and God would give them a king, he spoke to the kings through the prophets and said that the kings were not to amass to themselves large numbers of horses. He didn't want them to trust in horses and in the armament that they would have. Their trust should be in the Lord. And church, Christian, yeah, you might think of all kinds of things. Well, I think if we did this, boy, we could do more for the Lord. If we would just lower that standard or whatever else, we could do more for the Lord and reach more. You know what? We're not to trust in our flesh. We're not to trust in the world. We need to trust in the Lord. Put our eyes on Him. And we do so much better when we just trust in the Lord and ask Him for help. Along the way, when we start getting our own selves in the way and we get our own ideas out there, we start quickly failing and losing battles. But when our eyes are on the Lord, we're at our best. All right, verse 7. So Joshua came and all the people of war with him against them by the waters of Merom suddenly, and they fell upon them. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of Israel, who smote them and chased them unto great Zidon, and unto Misri Phothmaim, and unto the valley of Mizpe, eastward. And they smote them until they left them none remaining. Oh, here's this real harsh treatment or complete destruction thing coming on here. Verse 9, and Joshua did unto them as the Lord bade him. He hoed their horses and burnt their chariots with fire. Oh, I could just see some new evangelicals today saying, well, don't do that. Let's save them and use them for the work of the Lord. Joshua, nope. The Lord told me to hoe their horses and burn the chariots. We're going to do just that. Oh, but Joshua, wouldn't you look good? Wouldn't you look good riding in one of those leading us into battle next time? He probably said, yeah, I probably would look good, but I'd be disobeying the Lord. And we might think we look good in the service of the Lord when we're doing it in the flesh. But I tell you what, we would do better to take the Lord and do what He tells us to do and fight the battles His way, do them biblically, being faithful, don't compromise, don't lower standards, hold on to the doctrines. Amen for men like Joshua. I'm sure someone must have said, do you really think we ought to do this? There had to be someone like that there. He said, well, it's not in the Bible. Joshua did unto them as the Lord bade him. He obeyed the Lord. Verse 10, and Joshua at that time turned back and took Hazor and smote the king thereof with the sword. For Hazor before time was the head of all those kingdoms. And they smote all the souls that were therein with the edge of the sword, utterly destroying them. There was not any left to breathe. And he burnt Hazor with fire. And all the cities of those kings and all the kings of them did Joshua take and smote them with the edge of the sword. And he utterly destroyed them, as Moses the servant of the Lord commanded. But as for the cities that stood still in their strength, Israel burned none of them, save Hazor only. That did Joshua burn. And all the spoil of these cities and the cattle the children of Israel took for a prey unto themselves. But every man they smote with the edge of the sword until they had destroyed them. Neither left they any to breathe. Wow. What language, you know? What complete destruction. This was the command of the Lord to do. Verse 15. as the Lord commanded Moses, his servant, so did Moses command Joshua, and so did Joshua. He left nothing undone of all that the Lord commanded Moses. Now I see a handing down there of the command of the Lord, don't you? And the Lord commanded Moses, and Moses commanded Joshua. And of course, Joshua had to command the people to follow him and do just what he told them to do. Oh, we need first, second, third generational Christianity. You know, hand it right down. And each generation needs to follow the previous generation that was faithful to the Lord. Jim Bush and I were just talking about this one tract outfit. For years, this Moments with the Book tract outfit only used the King James Version of the Bible and all their tracts. We just got the recent mailing from them, and now they put a little ad in there, one-page ad. We now offer these, I think, 16 tracts using the New King James Version. Now, still on the information that they put in the envelope, the other brochures say, all our tracts use the KJV scriptures. And they've always said that all through the years. Very clearly they were making that statement. Now I have to ask, why? Why? What's the matter? Why don't we use the KJV? Well, you know why. It's compromise, folks. If we do this, we might be able to get more tracts out there. Listen, hold the horses, burn the chariots. Don't think that you have a better way. The New King James Version and the King James Version are two different Bibles. I mean, Brother Sammer has been giving us illustration after illustration of the problem between the New King James Version and the King James Version. There's problems. There definitely are problems. And we don't have God saying two different things here. You say, well, isn't the New King James Version based upon the majority text, you know, similar to the King James? Yeah, that's what they say. But there's a lot of dynamic equivalency going on there, and not word-for-word translation going on there, and there's trouble. There's problems with the New King James Version. These people decided. They made a decision to compromise themselves. We need to hand down the command of the Lord to the next generation. Oh, by God's grace, we need to hand down what we believe to this next generation. And I know we don't have much of the next generation sitting here, but I'll tell you what, I think the fact that there aren't at least five or six sitting here is because of disobedient parents not bringing them to the services. Bring your children to the church services and be faithful. Stand up for something, mom and dad, grandma and grandpa. Stand up for something and hand it down to the next generation. Don't be giving in. Don't be letting all kinds of things keep you from being faithful to the things of the Lord. It's just amazing how much unfaithfulness there is. Boy, what could be done for God, if men and women would be faithful, steadfast, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. It won't go in vain in the Lord. Let's be faithful. Let's not give in no matter what. Let's follow what the Lord says to do and be faithful to it. It's the best way. It's the blessed way. It's the happy way. These things write I unto you that your joy may be full. Are you happy in the Lord? I mean, are you really having a good time serving the Lord? Well, I don't know. Kind of sounds pretty legalistic, the stuff here. Just forget it being legalistic. Let's just follow what the Lord tells us to do. Let's be faithful. Let's stand for something. Not fall for everything. Let's stand for the things of the Lord. We need this good generational passing down of the truth of the Word of God. You know what? The fact that you're sitting here tonight and you're listening to and you're part of a church that's taken a stand for the Lord is because someone else before us held to the truth. and wouldn't give in. That's why we're here today. Well, I don't know. It's you, Pastor. It's your church. Hey, look. It isn't my church. Someone took a stand so that I might learn to take a stand. And then before those people, someone else took a stand and obeyed the commandments of the Lord and the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God. And they handed that obedience down to the next generation. And here we sit. Here we sit. You say, yeah, but it's getting smaller and smaller. I know. But nevertheless, we need to hand it down to the next group that's going to follow us after we're dead and gone. You know, you are going to die. You are going to die. I heard something on the radio the other day about some insurance thing, and they were saying, in the event that you die. I'm thinking, what? What do you mean, in the event that you die? Yeah, you are going to die. Everybody's going to die. It's like as if this might be good because you're not intending to die. Well, everybody better intend to die because you are going to die unless we go up in the rapture. That's the only way you're going to avoid that is the rapture. But none of you know when that's going to take place, so you better intend to die. You better get ready to die because it's going to come. But we need to hand down what we believe and stand for to the next generation who are going to live out their lives and die and hand it down to the next and hand it down to the next. You know, I believe up there at the judgment seat of Christ, people are going to be rewarded for what they did that caused the next generation to take a stand, the next one, and maybe some will get reward because three generations from them, someone took a stand because they did three generations back. We don't even know the people who are responsible for us sitting here today, saved, born again, singing the great songs of the faith tonight. We don't even know the people who are really responsible for us being here. We will someday in heaven. Oh, the Lord commanded Moses, verse 15, so did Moses command Joshua, and so did Joshua. And you'll see this toward the end of the book, when Joshua says, choose you this day whom ye will serve. But as for me and my house, see, he already intended to pass it on to his generation. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We all need to talk like that. You know what? We all need to have that attitude. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And no matter what's happened or what happens, things come, troubles come, we need to take our stand and live for the Lord. The battles are going to keep coming. Verse 16, so Joshua took all that land, the hills and all the south country and all the land of Goshen and the valley and the plain and the mountain of Israel and the valley of the same, even from the Mount Halak that goeth up to Seir, even unto Baal Gad in the valley of Lebanon under Mount Hermon, and all their kings he took and smote them and slew them. Joshua made war a long time with all those kings. Interesting statement, right? Some of you are getting old, right? Are you getting tired of fighting? No, frankly, I'm getting tired of fighting. I'd like to stop. I'd like to put the weapons down. I don't know. Pastor Freeman, you're always up against something. You're always telling us about something else to look out for. You ever get tired of that? Yeah, I do. I sure would like it if there weren't any battles to have to fight. But that isn't going to take place until the Lord comes back or until the rapture takes place. We've got to fight. There's a cause. There's a good cause. It's the work of the Lord. This land needed to be conquered by Joshua. And I'm going to show you some verses. Why were they so complete in the utter destruction? Why this? It was important. Joshua made war a long time with all those kings. Well, I'm glad he kept fighting. The word probably went around, oh, who's Joshua fighting today? Who's Pastor Freeman exposing today? Amen! Thank God! What did we do in Sunday school this morning? We exposed a whole bunch of things going on. Oh, Pastor Freeman, come on. Let it rest. No! We're going to battle this for a long time. The Lord comes back. That's how long. Verse 19, there was not a city that made peace with the children of Israel. Wow. Save the Hivites, the inhabitants of Gibeon. They're the ones who deceived them, remember? And they made a league with them. All other they took in battle. For it was of the... Now listen to this verse 20. For it was of the Lord to harden their hearts, that they should come against Israel in battle. Now, this is the heathen. God put it in the heathen's heart to gather against the children of Israel and fight against them. Wow. You know, I don't know if we can really grasp the spiritual warfare that goes on behind the scenes every day. There's a great spiritual battle going on behind the scenes. You know, some of these writers of modern day Christian writers, they try to get involved with this stuff, and they write novels and things like this about the warfare going on in spiritual realm. What C.S. Lewis and some of these other new writers, and the world even has it with the Potter thing, you know, whatever that is, Harry Potter thing, you know. There is spiritual warfare going on, folks. It's going on behind the scenes. You get up in the morning, you don't even know what awaits you. And what the devil's doing behind the scenes. Or even what God may be bringing to pass for you to stand up against and fight the good fight of faith so that the enemy might be revealed to be just that, the enemy of God. It's not a time to be trying to accommodate the wicked and compromise with them. It's a time to take your stand and fight the good fight of faith. Yeah, and the Lord may be actually bringing that enemy right to your front door. You have to keep fighting the battles. I equate this with what was taking place in Pharaoh's heart back in Moses' day. Couldn't help but think of that when I read that verse. Yeah? God hardened Pharaoh's heart. Remember that? Now, in the beginning, it would say Pharaoh hardened his heart. But halfway through the plagues, you start reading, God, the Lord, hardened Pharaoh's heart. Moses was still fighting the same individual. The first time, it was Pharaoh himself hardening his heart. Now it's Moses didn't even know this until he wrote about it, that God was hardening his heart so to bring honor and glory to God someday when he would put the rod over the Red Sea and it would open up and they'd go through and on the other side put the rod back down and Pharaoh's army was drowned that day. To the honor and glory of the Lord. For Miriam and all the women came out singing, dancing, and praising the Lord for the great victory that day with Pharaoh's army all slain. Who was behind it? God hardened Pharaoh's heart to bring glory to himself. The enemies we fight many times daily, God may be behind them. Our job's to fight battle. Obey the Lord. So that the Lord Jesus Christ will be highly exalted and given the glory at the end of the battle. Verse 24, it was of the Lord to harden their hearts that they should come against Israel in battle, that he might destroy them utterly, and that they might have no favor, but that he might destroy them as the Lord commanded Moses. Let me just read on. And at that time came Joshua and cut off the Anakims from the mountains, from Hebron, from Debir, from Anab, and from all the mountains of Judah, and from all the mountains of Israel. Joshua destroyed them utterly with their cities. There was none of the Anakims left in the land of the children of Israel, only in Gaza, in Gath, and in Ashdod there remained. What giant came out of Gaza? Goliath. Yeah. All the other giants were slain. Remember when the children of Israel came out of Egypt and God took them right up to the promised land, the border there, and the spies went in, came back with a bad report. They said, oh, there's giants in the land. Here's Joshua slaying those same giants. Oh, we can't win this fight. Oh, we're a small church. We can't do all this work. Oh, you know what? The Lord's told us to do it. Let's do it. Let's serve the Lord. Let's be faithful. We can slay the giants. They do fall. And who would slay the giant Goliath? A little boy named David, a little shepherd boy, with his sling and 5 smooth stones. And the one stone went up, hit the giant, and down came the giant. A little boy, little stone, big giant came tumbling down. Thank God for a little David. Well, you know what? Thank God for his father, Jesse. And can we go back to Obed? Born to who? Boaz and Ruth. Could we go back to verse 15 again with all that? And the Lord commanded Boaz. Boaz commanded Jesse, and Jesse commanded David, and David slew the giant. There's your 3 generational handing down the stand for the Lord. Amen for Ruth. How about Naomi? She nursed little baby Obed, right? Well, you know, I just love grandchildren. It's just this is the greatest time of my life, folks. I'm telling you. This is a great, how about it, honey? Is this a good time? I'm having a great time. Oh, there's times when Caleb's over at our house and we have to put him down for night-night. Oh, it's fun. He knows where his spot is in our house where he lays down and he goes, he's about tired. We can tell he's tired. He needs to go night-night. He gets his puppy and his blanket. And he goes over to the steps and goes, I'll say, okay, now say, night-night to Pooh Bear. Night-night, Pooh Bear. And say, night-night to the truck. Night-night, truck. And makes his way up the steps. And I'll sit there with him, kind of like rock him back and forth. And I just say, oh, God. He doesn't know I'm praying. Well, every once in a while, he does look up at me. What are you doing? God, help. Keep him from the evil one and use him for whatever you see fit. It's great. I got another one. We're going to go see him this week, little Stephen. Just can't help but looking at him and wonder, what does the future hold for them? And I have to say to myself and to God, God, I've got to be faithful to you for them. I've got to be faithful to you for them. Thank God that I have parents. My wife had parents who were faithful for us. And you can go, there's Nana and Pop, faithful for them, and on and down. And you can go back. And who was responsible for bringing all them to the Lord Jesus Christ and hand this thing down. Folks, you've got to see your part in this too. You have a responsibility before God to be faithful. Take courage. Be strong and of good courage. Meditate in the law day and night, and so will he prosper your way. I encourage you through this little passage right here that we read tonight. Look at what Joshua did. There was none of the Anakims left. Amen. All the giants fell. But the Lord does say, except the ones in Gaza. Now, I don't know why he didn't have the opportunity to get them, although we do know that down the road, God has his plan, doesn't he? That Goliath would be standing in the valley there with the armies of Israel all around, scared stiff, and the little shepherd boy would come and win the battle that day. And a great battle for the Lord was won that day. And the Israelites chased the Philistines all the way back home that day. And many Philistines died that day to the honor and glory of the Lord. Little David said, "The battle is the Lord's. I fight you in the name of the Lord, the God of Israel." And God got the glory that day. Amen. God will get the glory as we fight the battles for the Lord too. Someday up in heaven, we'll hear the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Wow. Let's be faithful. You need to be faithful. If you haven't been faithful in the past, I'd say start right now to be faithful again. And when you fail, and you will fail, you repent, confess, and get right back up on your feet and serve the Lord. These battles need to be fought. I encourage you to fight them. Verse 23, so Joshua took the whole land according to all that the Lord said unto Moses, and Joshua gave it for an inheritance unto Israel according to their divisions by their tribes, and the land rested from war. And the land rested from war. Wouldn't be long before they'd be at war again. Thank God He does give us little seasons of refreshment, doesn't He? And we have little times of rejoicing and power back up again and get our batteries refreshed. But I tell you what, there's a battle to be fought right again. You be ready. Be ready. Serve the Lord. We got to keep marching on, folks. Ray Street Baptist Church isn't done yet until the Lord comes. You know, we had a man this morning said to me, "Preacher, my wife and I would like to make this church our church. What do we have to do?" I told him he had to give me about $1,000. You know, that was his seed money. Just joking with the Benny Hinn thing, you know. No. I said, "Well, I'll give you the Constitution. You read that through. And if you're interested, we'll talk to you. Sit down, discuss things, and we'll figure this out." So, amen. We need people who will come on board and say, "We're going to stand for the Lord, too." And there's probably others that need to do the same. And let's get into the battle. Serve the Lord. That's what we ought to do. If you're already in, you ought to say, "We haven't been doing what we should do. We're not doing as much as we can do. And let's be faithful and let's serve the Lord together." I'm not trying to say the church is Israel, but you know, we've got some good examples back there in what Israel did. And we need to fight the battles for the Lord. How about it, folks? Are you ready to fight the battle? "I'm on the battlefield for the Lord," we sang earlier. Let's fight. Militant fundamentalists, right? Take your stand for the Lord. Let's pray. Father, help us, help these folks in front of me to take the encouragement from the example of Joshua here. Especially that point where you told Moses, Moses told Joshua, and Joshua, of course, told the people. May we realize the great importance that we play. As we serve the Lord, we may be setting up the stage for a great servant of the Lord to come along. But if we compromise and we lay down the weapons of our warfare, how can we expect the next generation to take their stand for the Lord? I pray You'd speak to each heart here tonight and help each one who's born again and saved to say, until the Lord comes, or until our death, we're going to spend our days serving the Lord better than we've done before. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.